Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord? Isn't it wonderful to have the Lord's touch and His anointing? There's nothing like it. There's no religion that can offer this. They can offer copies. They can offer the fake thing, but they can't offer God's presence. This morning, I want to speak to you, and I'll have to speak to you briefly now. Don't know how I'm going to do that. The Lord speaks to the church. Have you noticed He's been speaking to the church for a while, over and over, about similar topics? Similar topics. Ronald, the Lord's got a word for you as well, but I'll tell you just now. Come to me, okay. He's been speaking to the church about being witnesses. Can you identify with that? If you've heard more than 5 messages on witnessing over the last year, put up your hand. Okay, some of you can remember. And He's been speaking to us about bondage and breaking free out of bondage. The prophetic word that comes forth is often a word about coming out of bondage. Okay. One of the other things I realized that this morning, and we prayed about it, that's where it all started, was joy. He wants to give His people joy. He's speaking to this congregation about those things. We need to stand up and take notice. If He's speaking to us over and over and over and over, it means we haven't let it sink in. Does it make sense? Amen. Right. So, this morning I want to speak to you once again about breaking bondage. This scripture came to mind. Actually, there's another scripture in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 59, which I'll read just now, which says exactly the same thing. God raised up Cyrus to break the gates of bronze and the bars of iron. And many years ago, Pastor Pat, I think, spoke to us about that. But I've been reading about it, and I felt that this is the time. 27 is the year of Jubilee. It's a Jubilee year. It's a year of freedom. It's a year of being loosed from bondage, loosed from debt, loosed from the things that hold us back, loosed from captivity. And I can tell you right now that there's people here sitting here this morning that are in captivity. You might be born again, but you're still in captivity. Who knows that God's people, Israel, even though they were God's special people, landed up being taken into exile. They were in captivity. They were taken for 70 years and kept in Babylon, a place of captivity. Do you know that right at the beginning of those 70 years, God spoke to them and said, I want you to carry on. I want you to build your houses. I want you to marry and have sons and daughters. Did you know that? Because even in a place of bondage, we're still God's people. But I can tell you right now that Jesus shared what was written in Isaiah 61 of Himself. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon Him because He has anointed me. Let me read it. He has anointed me to preach good tidings. This morning I want to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Who's been brokenhearted? Who's brokenhearted here this morning? I know these people here that's brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. That's what I want to speak about. Liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. So this morning's message is all about liberty to those who are captive. And the opening of prison doors, breaking of chains of bondage to those who are bound. Jesus came to set the captive free. He's called us to set the captive free. But how can we free others if we are not free? And that was where I was so excited. I'm going to preach about setting the captives free. And I went and read these scriptures. And sadly, a very definite truth came out, which I will share with you just now. So, Psalm 107, verse 16. And please turn there in your Bibles, Psalm 107. And keep your Bibles open there, because there's more scripture. Sorry. For He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Sorry, excuse me. We need to understand what bronze and iron mean. Bronze stood for judgment. Did you know that? It speaks about God's judgment. In showing His anger over a certain city, the Lord would say that the heavens have turned bronze. We read about in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, where it says, your heavens will be like bronze. What happens when your heavens are bronze? You can pray, but they hit a brass ceiling. Okay, in the workplace, people say, I've hit a brass ceiling. I can't get promoted anymore. That's the same thing as about heavens of bronze. You speak But because of judgment, because of God's judgment, that was why I said it's not so exciting anymore. Okay, because of God's judgment, the heavens became bronze. There's another place where bronze represents judgment, where we judge ourselves. It's an internal judgment. Who remembers in with the temple and the tabernacle in the outer court was the bronze laver. It was filled with water. And the priests would come there before going into the holy place, before going to minister before the Lord, and they'd wash themselves, and they'd see a reflection of themselves in that big bronze laver. And it would be like God is saying, look at yourself. David said this in the psalmist said in Psalm 139, search my heart, O God, and test my anxious thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Bronze represents that kind of testing, that kind of judging of ourselves to see if we're walking right. Yes, I'd like to hear amens. So it speaks about God's judgment, but self-judgment too. If we are willing to judge ourselves, then we won't come under God's judgment. We won't face a heaven of bronze. So bronze also represents sin, or the judgment for sin. Bronze, when used naturally, represents something that is firm. It's a metal. It's stubborn. You're not just going to bend it easily. That's why they built gates with bronze. Okay, it's a strong metal. And it endures. It's something that lasts. Think about, and this is what came to mind as I prepared the message, enduring sin. Who battles sometimes with the same old, same old, same old, same old? Don't you get sick and tired of going to the Lord in shame and in repentance saying, Lord, I've done it again. Stubborn sin. When Moses raised the bronze serpent up, when the serpents were biting them, the people had to look at the serpent, and the serpent was a type of Christ that bore the judgment for the sin of the people. And as they looked, they were healed. Jesus was lifted up on the cross. He bore our sin. As we look up to Him, the judgment over our lives goes. It's written in the Word. It says, the handwriting of requirements against us was nailed to the cross. Amen. Amen. Judgment. Bronze represents judgment. Bronze is also, and I saw this, maybe bronze and brass is pretty much the same thing. If you think in the Old Testament, you know, the bronze and the brass that we got today is maybe not quite exactly made from the same thing. But if you think of a brass thing, if you polish it up nice and shiny, what does it look like? It looks like gold. But on closer inspection, is it gold? No. Bronze speaks of an imitation. It's an imitation. It's not the real thing. Amen. It shines like gold, but it's not gold. Its true nature can be seen when you look closer. And then iron. The Roman Empire, if you go and read in the book of Ezekiel, Daniel and the man, there was an iron section. And that iron represented Rome, the kingdom of Rome, or the Roman Empire. It was an empire that had a fist of iron. There was nothing that could stand against the Romans. They ruled fiercely. They ruled hard. They ruled without, you know, any compassion. They were harsh. Iron represents that. Iron is the metal. If you take a 10-pound hammer, what's the end made of? Steel. It's made of iron. You can break anything with that thing. You can dent it with that thing. It breaks things. It's a destroyer. And then if you think about handcuffs, even today's handcuffs, made of metal. Fetters were made of iron. The things that they took people into bondage with were made of iron. They shackled them with chains made of iron. They were articles or ways, or it was a, I've got the wrong word, I've got it down my notes. They were, I don't even know, instruments of bondage. Iron is an instrument of bondage. But polished iron can look like silver, can't it? It looks good. Again, it imitates the real thing. So it represents falsehood as well. It represents falsehood. Bronze and iron work together. When you read in the scripture, it speaks about him breaking the gates of bronze and the bars of iron. Bars of iron were used to strengthen gates of bronze. They were used together. So we're talking about bondage. talking about bondage. But it's not just any bondage. Psalm 107, have you got it open still? In verse 10 to 12, it says this. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, is the irons that bind, because why? Here's the answer. They rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. It's judgment from God. Why? Because they rebelled against the words of God and they despised the counsel of the Most High. Church, I want to challenge you this morning. I'm not coming here and standing here as a man of judgment this morning. But sometimes when we are in bondage, sometimes when we're in captivity to sin, it's because we are not listening and obeying the word of God. It's because we're starting to live the way you want to and the way I want to and not the way that God wants us to live. And it puts us in shackles. The enemy is just waiting for us not to listen. The enemy is just waiting for us to be disobedient. The enemy is just waiting for us to say, I will do it my way, not God's way. Amen. You may have got a word from God this morning. Wonderful words of promise. Unless you do it God's way, you will never see those words come to pass. Amen. We've got to do it God's way. We can't do it our way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Satan wants nothing more than for us to experience chains of bondage, to be locked up behind gates of bronze and be kept captivity. The minute the Israelites turned their backs on God, God said, okay, my judgment will come and you will go off into captivity for 70 years. And the strange thing is they came back, God restored them, went back and did it again. Hey, we know better. Romans 3:23 says what? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. We're all sinners. But praise God for grace. Praise God that Jesus became sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in and through Him. Say that, I'm the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Stubborn sin, unforgiveness, lack of repentance, hard-heartedness. Who's got a hard heart here? Put your hand up. Don't put up hand. Okay. Hard-heartedness. All of these things will result in spiritual bondage. Living the way we please. Living in sin. Living in compromise. Shoop, here come the shackles. You'll put a ball and chain around your ankles too. He'll tie you down, the devil. He'll tie you down so you become hopeless and useless. Amen. We need to have the gates of iron, bronze, and the bars of iron broken. We need them to be shattered. We may not be carried away into physical captivity like the Israelites, but we can face spiritual bondage. And let me tell you, what are some of those spiritual bondages? Well, they manifest in our natural. Addiction, demon possession, demon oppression, unexplained sicknesses and diseases, unanswered prayers, the heavens of brass. Can I carry on naming them? Can I carry on naming them? Lust. But Lord, I've submitted it to you. Why do I keep on having these feelings of lust? Because I'm not fully serving God. Financial problems. It's a form of bondage. I'm not saying that everybody here that's got financial problems are there because of bondage. But if you're there, sometimes you need to say, Lord, help me. Check me out. Is there something that's not right? And if you know that it's not right, then deal with it. Deal with it, yeah, and deal with it now. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. He's speaking to His people this morning. I'm telling you, church. When I prepared this message, I knew He was talking to us. Are you experiencing some of those symptoms? Shall I read them again? Addiction, demon possession, oppression. Not everybody's possessed by a demon, but some people can be oppressed. Unexplained sicknesses. Unexplained, Conrad spoke about it, the pockets with holes in them. Your finances go nowhere. You at the end of the month, I've got so much. At the end of the month, where did it all go to? I don't even know where it's gone. You're sitting on retirement, you've got nothing. But you've been saving your whole life. You don't have enough to live off of. Amen? Maybe, maybe these gates of bronze and bars of iron present in your life. I'm not saying that's why, but I'm saying we need to check it out. I want to tell you, regardless of bondage, God has a plan for you. I told you that God blessed the Israelites even when they were in captivity. Psalm 107, verse 13 to 16 says this. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their darkness. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. That's what we need. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He's broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Can we give the Lord praise? Hallelujah. God will destroy them. God will destroy them. God will destroy them. God will break them. God will shatter them for you. All you have to do is turn to Him. All you have to do is to turn to Him. But sometimes we need our eyes open so that we know that they're there. Repeated sin. It's a bondage. It's chains. The devil's got you right where he wants you. You need to ask the Lord to break it for you. Isaiah 45. I said earlier on Isaiah 59. I was wrong. It's Isaiah 45. Verse 1 to 2. Thus says the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. Cyrus was raised by God to deliver His people. Cyrus was a mighty king. He was raised by God. But God says, I have raised you up. It's not the hand of man. It's not the arm of your own strength. I will go before you. I will open the doors, even the double doors. I will break those gates of bronze. I will cut the bars of iron. I will do it, says God. God will always raise a redeemer. Jesus Christ is our redeemer. He's gone before us. He's broken those gates of bronze. And He's broken and cut asunder those bars of iron. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you a little bit more about Cyrus. The Israelites had been taken into captivity in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. While he was there, he robbed the temple. He stripped it of all its gold, all of its vessels, the beautiful vessels. Do you know where they were? They were put in dark dungeons. They were put in dark storerooms. They were kept out of the sight of light, kept away. And one night his son was having drinks. And he said, come, bring those things. Let's drink out of them. Do you remember the writing on the wall? God brought judgment. Amen. But that's not what I was here to tell you. Nebuchadnezzar, he built Babylon. It was known as the most beautiful and the most impressive place at the time. I disagree. I think the temple was. I think the Israelite temple was. But anyway, that place was known as the most beautiful place. There was a city, Babylon. It had these walls around it. Eight huge, huge gates on the outside. Inside were another, was another wall with 100 brass gates. When God spoke to Cyrus, he looked into the future. He looked into the captivity. He said, I will break those gates of bronze and their bars of iron. I will shatter them. Cyrus came. He stood outside the city. He said, how am I going to get in? He said, I want to go in. I want to go and conquer those people. I want to. I've got a great army here. They trained, but I can't get through those gates. Those gates are what's stopping me from getting in. And you might be saying today, I've got things in my life. I just can't seem to get victory. I want the victory. I seek the victory. I need the victory, but I just can't seem to get the breakthrough that I need. God said, I will break them for you. There's nothing you can do, but I will break them for you. And He will break those gates of iron, those gates of bronze and those bars of iron for you. He will anoint you. It doesn't matter how powerful the city is that's been built against you. God says, I will open the gates. There's a song that we used to sing. My sister wrote, open the gates, throw wide the gates of praise. See, the King is coming. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. He's going to visit you. He'll break those gates for you. Hallelujah. But we need to call on Him today. Every day we need to call on Him. He says, I will break in peace those gates of brass and cut the bars of iron. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You know what the name of Babylon comes from? It comes from the word Babalu, which means the gate of God. It wasn't God's gate, the God that we know God. It was a foreign God's gate. Babylon represents everything that's sinful, everything that's of the world economy today, everything that's of the world. That's what Babylon in the Bible represents. God says, I will break it. I will break the hold of the world in your life. Do you want victory? Do you want victory? Many of us may be standing outside the gates of those walls, the walls of the world and the problems that we've got and poverty and marriage troubles and sickness and whatever it might be. God says, I will break those gates. But, I need my people to come back to me. I need my people to call on me. Hallelujah. Look at our prayers sometimes. Sometimes the heavens are bronze even for us. Sometimes, like Jeremiah complains, my prayers can't pass through these ceilings of brass. What about our own hearts? Stubborn. Coated with a coating of hardness, a heart of stone. We need God to come and take in that heart of stone and take away that heart of stone and put in that heart of flesh once again. Amen. That's what God wants to do this morning. What about other hindrances and enemies of our souls? Satan himself. What about self? Me, myself, and I. Oh, everything that fights against what is good. Those things can be considered gates of brass in our lives. Barring the wishful access to victory that we have. But God says, I will break those gates of iron. What about gates of brass? What about bars of iron? The bars of iron strengthen the gates. What can those things be in our lives? I've got an extract from what somebody else, a preacher, J.C. I don't even know if I'm going to say his name right, Philippo, in 1953, so long ago, he described these bars of iron like this. These bars can be an unbelieving heart. The secret infidelity of the carnal mind. Sure, I wish I could put together words like that for my preaching. One day I'll grow up and I'll be able to do it. The guilt of conscience produced by a sense of our base and innumerable wanderings and backsliding from the Lord. Does that sound a little bit like our lives sometimes? Oh, I didn't hear many amens there. Doubts and fears often springing out of our own lack of consistency and devotedness. Sure, apprehensions of being altogether deceived from finding so few marks of grace and so much neglect of watchfulness and prayer. All these may be mentioned as bars of iron strengthening the gates of brass. Who can identify with that today? In 1853 it was reality, and in 2017 it's reality, and in 500 BC it was reality, and God is the answer and remains the answer and will always be the answer. We can no more break these gates of brass or cut up the bars of iron than Cyrus could. He doubtlessly had a large, powerful army who possessed great fighting skills, but before them there stood Babylon's gates of brass and bars of iron. He may have looked at them in all their depth and width, but looking at them would not remove them. He may have wished them broken away and cut into pieces, but wishing they would go away would go very little way to making them fall down. There they remain, standing before His eyes and impenetrable. We can look at our problems. We can talk about our problems. We can wish them away. But unless we come before the cross of Jesus Christ, they will remain. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to obey His word. We need to choose to serve Him with our whole heart. And then those gates will come crashing down and victory will come. Who wants victory this morning, church? Hallelujah! We need victory. Just as God gave Cyrus the victory, so Jesus Christ will give you the victory you so desperately need today. Hallelujah. There was only one way through those gates. Peter recognized that and he said to Jesus, you are the Messiah. Matthew 16 verse 15 to 18. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, listen to this. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter. And on this rock, not Peter the rock, on the rock of the acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is Lord, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of Babylon, those gates of brass and those bars of iron will never prevail against it. You are a child of the living God. The gates of hell will not prevail against you as long as you choose not to allow them to, by being disobedient, by disobeying God's word, by choosing to do as you please instead of what God's word says. As long as you do it right. And I'm just going to wrap up quickly, okay? Not only when we make that choice will God give us victory and break down those gates and break those bars, but he will restore to us what the enemy has stolen from us. You remember what I said? Nebuchadnezzar came. He stole the contents of the temple. Man, that was what kept Israel together. They knew that when they worshipped in the temple, they were in the presence of the living God. They were so proud of their temple. They gave of their own to build that temple. It was beautiful. It was the most beautiful temple that had ever been built. Yeah, those treasures were treasures of darkness, hidden in dungeons. Look what the word says. Isaiah 45 verse 3. Speaking to Cyrus in that same piece of scripture, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. God says to you, Christian Heritage, that you may know that I, the Lord, your God, who call you by name, am the Lord of Christian Heritage. What were those treasures of darkness? They were things that were stolen from them. What are your treasures of darkness? It's what the devil's robbed you of. What has the devil stolen from you? Has he robbed you of your joy? Has he robbed you of your income? Has he robbed you of your health? Has he robbed you of your relationship with Jesus Christ? Has he robbed you of your confidence? What has he robbed you of? God says, when you come back to me and I break down those gates of bronze and the bars of iron, I will give you those treasures that enemy, the devil, has hidden in the pit of hell. They will be given back. You will be restored. And not only that, I will give you the treasures of the secret places. You know what I think the secret places are? The Most High. In the presence of the Most High. I will hide myself in the secret place of the Most High. Under his wing will I take refuge. He will not only give me what the devil has stolen, but he will bless me with treasures from heaven. Hallelujah. Isn't this exciting? Hallelujah. Has the devil maybe stolen ministry from you? God called you into ministry and the devil stole it from you? You were young when he called you? I'm being prophetic right now. I know it. It's from God. It's people, yeah. God called them when they were young. They were in youth. You were in youth. God spoke to you. He called you. You know what? You were excited about it, but you've forgotten about it. You moved on. You had children. You had a life. Now you're ready to retire. God's calling is without repentance. He says it's still there. But gates of bronze and bars of iron have got in the way. I'll give it back to you. Do you want it back? Do you want it back? Do you want it back? That's prophetic. I really believe there's people sitting here this morning. You say, I'm retiring. No, God says, I called you. You haven't done. That disobedience of yours, it built a gate of bronze. It built brass roofs, brass ceilings. Because you chose not to hear what I said to you. Sure, that's hard, isn't it? That wasn't in my notes. Okay, think about it, church. Hallelujah. There's far too many of us that are willing to just sit week after week and warm a pew. God has got a calling for us. The Word of God says he's got good works which he prepared in advance for us to do. Maybe your ministry, maybe your marriage, maybe your children, maybe your employment, maybe your health. What has the devil stolen from you? Let's ask the Lord to tear down those gates of bronze and those bars of iron today and give victory in this house. Is it a hardened heart? God can change that. Is it disobedience? God can change that. Is it stubborn sin? God can change that. What is the bondage that's holding you back? God can change it. God can change it. Today you are here. Stand with me. Hallelujah. You see, we think we can move ourselves out from under God's blessings. I want to tell you this. Isaiah 59 verse 2 tells us that our sins separate us from God. And that will result in unanswered prayers. But Romans 8 verse 38 says this. And 39, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, sin might separate us from God, but nothing can separate us from His love. Isn't that amazing? His love comes. And it puts its hands, and I can see those fingers reaching through our sin, through the darkness of the, and it comes and it takes hold of us. And says, I still love you. You're still my child. I can restore you. All you have to do is call out to me. Who wants to call out to Jesus this morning? Who wants to break those gates of bronze and those bars of iron? Hallelujah. I would love to do an altar call now, but I think you guys won't like me very much. But if you want prayer, you come forward at the end of the service, okay? You can just tell me as I'm greeting, you can say, I want you to come pray with me. I'll come back here. I'll ask some of the leaders to just stand in front of you, okay? After the service, so that there will be somebody here to pray with you. Were you blessed this morning, church? Amen. I honestly and truly believe with all my heart, this is a word for this church, for this people. God is working in us. He is definitely working here. I know it with all my heart. But He needs to do work in our lives. He's bringing us to a place of healing. He's bringing us to a place of readiness that we can hit the ground running. And boy, oh boy, when we look back, we're going to see blessing and favor and grace. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So I want you to raise your hand this morning if you need gates of bronze and bars of iron broken in your life. Just raise your hands here. Our Father, I pray for every person that's raising their hands. I raise my own hands, Lord. For all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. But Lord, we thank you that we stand by grace. We walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. We thank you, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus gave himself for us. He paid for our sins. We thank you, Lord God, that you go ahead of us. Right now, that gates are being broken. And bars are being shattered and the fetters of the enemy are broken in the name of Jesus, and your people are free. Lord, we repent of going off in our own way, of taking your word and making it of private interpretation, of disobeying your word and just not listening to you. And Lord, even for those of us that may have not answered your call, even when we were young, when we were teenagers, or even when we were in our 20s or 30s or 40s, Lord, we pray, release that anointing over our lives and let us fulfill the calling in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that this word will go forth and will produce fruit. It will not go forth and come back void. Lord, let it produce a harvest. Give us the victory that we need. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.